Our Father, we marvel at your mercy and at your grace, your power unto salvation is glorious and marvelous. We thank you that we can gather one more time to hear your word. O blessed Spirit, that you would teach us and move in our hearts, that the word would become real to us. May you bless us in this hour, and may be all done to your glory and to your praise. We pray in your name. Amen. Our message this morning, as we continue to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading verse 13. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Earlier this morning, we saw that Paul is thanking his God for his mercy that God has shown to the people of God. He's thankful that God has moved the people of God to receive the word of God, not coming from men, but in truth, the very word of God. To receive the word of God means that the word of God is binding. It is the truth and only the truth. Everything is gauged in the context of the Bible. We saw that to receive this Bible and to receive the word of God, that you welcome it as a child of God. It is that which you desire to hear and desire to follow. And so we saw how that the receiving of the word of God was made effective in the lives of those who are believers. If you are receiving the word of God, it will change the life, it will change your conduct. You will gauge everything you do according to Holy Scripture. We come this morning to further consider and notice the primary method and means used by the Spirit of God to communicate the Word of God. And Paul says it here in verse 13. He says, "You welcomed it not as the Word of men." And earlier he says, "Because you received the Word of God which you heard from us." Which you heard from us. This little phrase is what we want to consider this morning. Here Paul gives us the method and means by which the Spirit of God communicates. It is through the preaching of the Word of God. The first thing we notice that it is in the context of the local church that this activity is seen when he says, "You heard from us." In the context of the local church, where we read in verse 1 of chapter 1 to the church of Thessalonians, "In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace to you. And here he says, which you, as a congregation, which you have heard from us. The context is the local church. Secondly, the means is by the authoritative preaching of the Word of God. A preaching of the Word of God that was blessed of God. It is not the exclusive means, but it is the primary means. Remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 21 of that chapter. He says, "For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message," what? "Preach to save those who believe." The primary means that God uses in bringing His people to Himself and in sanctifying His people is through the authoritative preaching of the Word of God in the context of the local church. Why is it preaching in the context of the local church? When the people of God gather, it's not just a normal meeting. When the people of God gather, the Bible says that the Lord Christ walks among them. There is a peculiar presence of Christ when the people of God meet. God is everywhere. But there is a peculiar presence of God when the people of God meet. Therefore, when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to the seven churches, listen to what He says in Revelation 2 and verse 1. "The angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says He who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." Reference to the church. It is Christ who walks in the midst of His church. And Paul says that as a preacher of the gospel, he is a mouthpiece. He is speaking in the stead of Christ, so that Christ is speaking through him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 of that chapter, where Paul says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." God speaks through His servants, but His servants are simply His mouthpiece to preach the gospel. Now that mouthpiece must preach the Word of God, because when Christ speaks, He speaks by way of truth, by way of the Word of God. And He speaks through His appointed servants. Furthermore, Christ is the head of the church, has said that His pastors should feed and maintain the spiritual health of His people. Nowhere do you find in the Scriptures believers just running around. Nowhere do you find in the Scripture where they're just isolated, they're just home, they listen to the internet and they listen to this instruction and that instruction and preaching. And of course they didn't have the internet back in Paul's day, but they feel that they can just praise God and worship God just sitting out in the field or at home. No, says the Lord Christ, the head of the church, it's in the context of the gathered people. There is where I walk. There is where I bless, and I speak to the people of God, says the Lord, through the mouthpiece, yea, through His servants, faithful servants, who are preaching the Word of God. And I've instructed the pastors that I raise up to feed the flock. There's where the believers get fed. There's where the believers come to be furthered in their walk before the Lord God. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and in verse 2 and 4, listen. Peter, instructing servants of God, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples unto the flock. Feed them, shepherd them. So he says in Acts 20 and verse 28, that you are to feed the flock. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17, you are to watch over the souls of my people, says Almighty God. The people of God are underneath the authority of servants that are watching over their hearts and their soul. Paul says to these believers in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which you heard from us. You heard from us as servants of God. We came and preached the authoritative word of Holy Scripture to you, and you heard and it had an effect upon you. Furthermore, he says regarding those who preach the word, that you must be centered. We were centered and rooted in the word of God alone. He says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word. A faithful servant, a true preacher, will preach from the word alone. There is no time for opinions. You don't want to hear the opinions of a man. You don't want to hear church traditions. There are those that claim to know God and claim to know what it means to be a Christian, claim that people are going to heaven when it's all just man's opinion. They can't prove anything from the authority. And Paul says, my authority and your authority is the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone. Therefore, you are, Paul, to preach the Word and the Word alone. You cannot spend time joking around. Pastors who want, and preachers who want to entertain those who come. They don't want you to leave. They want you to be happy. They want you to go away saying, I'm certainly going to go back. So if they make you laugh, you feel good. If they talk nice things, you feel good. If they say, you're doing okay, you feel good. I like that church. I'm going to go back to that church. No, says Paul. But a true servant of God will come and preach the word of God alone, and he'll preach faithfully the word of God and all the word of God and all that God commands, whether it offends or not. Listen to Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet says this in Isaiah 8 and verse 20 of that chapter. In Isaiah 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You want a preacher and the pastor who will come to you through the word of God alone. You don't care what he thinks. And he must prove the word of God. And you see, for these believers, they received the word of God, not as word of men, says Paul, but the word of God. And that's binding. And their attitude is Paul, if you show me from the Word of God, it's binding, I will do it. I don't want to know anything else. And all the religions that we have in our day are not religions that hold to Scripture alone. They hold to man-made religions, to man-made rules, to revelations that they say that they have that were written by men. Paul says, no, the revelation is God-breathed from God Himself, and therefore you are to preach the Word of God, and you are to be urgent. It's a matter of life and death. And therefore, there is no time to joke, no time to entertain, but you must be faithful to the souls of men. Ezekiel 33 and verse 7. The Ezekiel, the prophet, speaks regarding a true servant of God and the responsibility that that servant has. And this is what he says. God says through Ezekiel. He says, Ezekiel 33:7, so you, O son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his sins, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his sins, but you have delivered his soul. A true servant of God is one that Ezekiel says is like a watchman upon the walls. He is to warn. He is to be faithful to the souls of men. He is to tell men regarding what God says. And he'll be judged. Not only that, but true preaching that Paul is speaking about here is bold preaching. Doesn't fear the faces of men. Listen to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1 and in verse 8 of that chapter, listen to what God says. He says to Jeremiah, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Don't be afraid of their faces. If you're true to the souls of men and you tell them regarding what God says, you'll get a bunch of frowns. You will not get a happy face. Don't fear the face of men. Not only that, but he goes on to say in verse 16 of that chapter in Jeremiah 1, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Therefore prepare yourself and arise to speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day fortified city and iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes and the priests, and against the people of the land. Now notice, they will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you, because I am the Lord. I'm going to speak some serious things. I'm going to show them their wickedness. Preacher, just have a good sermon. And let's just all praise the Lord, and let's go home. But when the servant comes in the name of God, and begins to deal with the sins of your heart, begins to show that you are in rebellion against God, and not only in rebellion against God, But if you do not take care of your sins in the appointed way, you're going to be damned and you're going to hell. Men don't like that. Men don't mind going to heaven by just simply being good and coming to church. But they do not desire to deal with the sins of their heart. No, that is too much. And they frown. They get angry. They don't like the prophet. And God says to Jeremiah, they'll fight against you. They'll get offended. They will leave. They won't like it. And in many circles, the Apostle Paul, feeling the effect, they'll cast you into jail. They'll persecute you. But don't fear, because you will prevail. Preach the word without fear. Preach it boldly. Preach it truthfully. You are to preach the gospel, and you are to be faithful unto men. There are so many, says Peter, false teachers of our day, so many that use the jargon of Scripture, so many that talk about being a Christian, and pretty soon all of the religions are mixed together and everybody's going to heaven. You're just going to heaven in a different way than somebody else, and so it just kind of all fits together, and we just all love each other. We're all going to heaven. Not so, says Holy Scripture. Not so, says the Gospel. There's only one way. And that one way is through Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of sinners. And there's only one way to get to Christ. And there is only one that can change the heart, which is God Himself, and no other. You cannot change your own heart. You cannot do good before God. You cannot be a good person before God, because all of our sins and our hearts is as filthy rags before God. No, it takes divine intervention. And if God saves a man, and if God brings a man or a woman in the right way to Christ and believes in Christ, the result, says Paul, what he's thankful for in 1 Peter 2 and verse 13, is the life will be changed. The life will be changed. A lot of people say, I'm a Christian, preacher. I'm a Christian. Has the life been changed? Well, not quite so much. Has the thinking been changed? Not quite so much. You mean you're going to heaven and you have a Savior? Oh yes, I have Jesus as my Savior. Well, do you have Him as Lord? Somewhat, not so much. There's no such creature in Holy Scripture. For when the gospel comes in power through the authoritative preaching of the Word of God, and the Spirit of God comes down to quicken a heart and bring a heart to Himself, that man or woman understands and sees the rebellion of the heart that they have, as it were, sinned against the living God. They have, as it were, disobeyed and gone their own way. There is nothing good in them. And they plead for mercy, and they come to the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you come, says the Gospel? You come through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a faith meaning that you turn from your sins, you turn from your rebellious ways, and you trust in the Lord Christ, and you are obedient to Him. And this is what Paul is so thankful. He says, you received the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. You welcomed it. And it had an effect upon you. It had an effect upon you. It changed your life. Many people going to heaven who's never had a changed life. People go into heaven where they have several authorities. Paul says, no, the authority is Scripture alone. Therefore, preacher, show me from Scripture. In so many places, preaching the Word of God, they cannot show you, they cannot prove from Holy Scripture what they're saying. It is all hearsay. It's all opinion. This is what I think. This is church tradition. This is what has been handed down. And Paul says, no, no, we come in the authority of Holy Scripture. So Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, you preach the word. You preach the word, and you convince, and you rebuke, and you exhort through the word, because the time will come, he says in verse 3 of 2 Timothy 4, that there will be a people that cannot endure sound doctrine. There's a people that can't endure sound doctrine. You can't. I mean, it's just too much for you. It's just you can't. You have to have something that satisfies your ear. And Paul says, listen, I am so thankful that you received the Word of God. And what's the means? The means of your receiving the Word of God is that you have heard from us preaching of the Word of God being taught, receiving the Word of God, as we saw this morning, means that when you hear what God's Word says, it's binding upon you. When you hear what God's Word says, that is what you will do. Just show me what Scripture says. That is what you will do. The question this morning is this. What's the Word of God to you this morning? Do you read the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God? Do you look into the Word of God for everything that you do to know whether God is pleased or not? We throw around this title of Christian to just about anyone and everyone. Anyone that shows a little bit of religious effort, we say they're a Christian. And there will be many in that day standing before God at the judgment day with all their religion wrapped around their neck will do them no good, and God will cast them into everlasting destruction, yea, into hell itself. We must make sure that we understand what a Christian is. We must make sure that we understand what it means to live the Christian life. And Paul gives much direction to the church at Thessalonica. He gives them a lot of different directions that come from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And he says, I am so thankful that when you heard these words from me, you didn't say, well, that's just a preacher's opinion. Oh, that's just the pastor's opinion. But you heard it as the living Word of God. So that's the question. What effect has the Word had? What is it that has changed? Can you say that once I was dead and in darkness, now I'm in light? Do you have what these believers at Thessalonica have had in chapter 1 and verse 9, where Paul says that they turned to God from idols. They were serving idols. They were serving themselves. They were serving sin. And they turned unto the living God. Has that happened to you? Has that happened to you? Don't call yourself a Christian. Don't call yourself a Christian if the life has not been changed. Don't call yourself a Christian if you listen to authorities apart from the Word of God. This is truth. Christ is truth. And this is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't call yourself Christian if you take the opinions of men and not that of God. So you see how thankful Paul is. You see what just stirs his heart. Do you see what for him is worth it all? Preaching the word. Put me in jail. Hate me. Yell at me. But I'll be true to your soul. And you have to answer for that. There's where you want to be under the authoritative preaching of the word with ones that are going to be faithful to you. Ones that are going to open up the scriptures to you. One who is not going to seek your approval, but the approval of God. Now to these believers, that was their delight. That's their delight. There is so much falsehood in our day that, oh God, I don't want to be deceived. So, show me from your word. Give me understanding from your word. And this is what we pray. We pray with the Apostle Paul that what you have heard from faithful servant has the effect hearing the truth of effectually working in you to be holy. There is much said in Holy Scripture. Much said regarding the deception of the sinful heart and those that would seek to tear down the work of Almighty God. Do you know that the devil is a lot stronger than we are? All these centuries working out his purpose. Do you know that he hates God with all of his might? And do you know that if you began to take seriously Holy Scripture, Satan will come with everything. He doesn't mind that you're religious. He doesn't mind you go to church. He doesn't mind you read your Bible. That's all good. That's all fine. But he doesn't want to have your life change. He doesn't want you to meet the Savior. He doesn't want you to come to Christ. And yet, Paul says the gospel is far mightier than the devil. For Jesus has come and destroyed the works of the devil. And he will prevail. Therefore, he says to all servants, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. May it be so. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word that you have given us. And some of us, Lord, who have been called to preach your word, we do so crying to you that we are not sufficient at all for these things. We are simply a mouthpiece. We are simply declaring what you have said. Raise up faithful men who will preach your word in boldness, not fearing the faces of men, but standing upon the walls of your church, warning sinners to flee from the wrath to come. We long to see that, Lord. Be pleased to move in our day. Move in our hearts. That we, like the Thessalonians, would receive your word even this day. That it would make a difference in your precious name.